Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on American Freedom Radio for your listening pleasure and whatnot in the wilds of New Zealand, the untouched, remote, totally corruption-free, utterly green and not polluted on like 70% of its beaches. And totally not in the ploy of the triads who own the major centres. None of that is going on, okay? Clean, green, and corruption-free, just so as the tourism ministry tells everybody outside of New Zealand and inside New Zealand. Now, everybody thinks they live in the greatest country in the world. New Zealanders call our country God's own, you know. It's great. Americans think they're the greatest country in the world. I don't know what the hell the Canadians reckon of their country. Maybe they're just not that arrogant. But and the Aussies reckon they're the lucky country. We all think we're really special. Now, here's the thing. We could either all wrong, or we might actually all be correct. Because some of the beautiful things that you see in every country are reflected in the people and the surroundings all around you at all times. Okay? But sometimes you don't see it. Because you're staring at your iPhone, or you're having an argument with somebody about some issue that doesn't matter, right? Maybe you're distracting yourself from the pain of living for such a period of time that you forget how to live and only know how to distract yourself from the pain of living, okay? I've been there. Anybody who's awake should have been there. And I believe that suffering is one of those requirements for living in this world and seeing it as it is, because it's only once all the lies have hurt you and all the authority figures have betrayed you that you suddenly start to see the gravity of the truth of the situation, that you can't trust people just because they've got a badge, just because they've got a title or something like that. Sometimes you need to look into their track record and think for yourself and don't believe what they tell you. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. This is a listener-supported broadcast on AmericanFreedomRadio.com once a week at this point. And my very special guest joining me today, in webcam for the first time on the show, actually, is Max Egan, who appeared just earlier on the O'Challey Effect with Sherry Wisdom as well. Max, welcome to the program.
Nice to be here, Vinny. Thanks for asking me on, brother. Good to see you back on air.
Oh, well, thank you. It's been some time, actually, like since September. Like, really?
Has been a while. Good to see you back.
Yeah. It's not like I wasn't busy, though. You know? Mate, there's just like thousands of archives and stuff trying to update and all sorts of videos that I never got around to making. It's just, you shoot so much, you go on so many shows and you do so many shows that basically 90% of it never even gets up online for people to see again.
Absolutely. I've got the same problem. I've got archives there I've been trying to put together for the last 3 or 4 years. So I know exactly what you're going through with that.
Yeah. It just doesn't happen, eh? Unless you, like, just take time off from making new things. But the thing is, people are always looking for new things. But I was of the belief that the things that we talk about on the radio shows and things like that, they're not, like, current events and current affairs and things like that. This is actual knowledge that will last you throughout the years. And it has an intrinsic value.
Well, it is. I mean, there's a lot of knowledge that gets put forth on the shows, but there's a lot of current events that need addressing as well. I mean, it's so hard to keep on top of things at the moment. Everything's moving so fast that kind of, you know, you have to come back on air just to keep on top of things and on track of things. Otherwise, when you do come back on, you're just going to have to do like a 10-hour show just to get back to square one, you know. So it's really, really been moving fast in the last few months since you've been off air. So, yeah, it's anybody's guess where we're going to go from this point. I think it's turned into a circus, the whole global political arena. But hopefully, it's a big wake up call for people. And I'm seeing a lot of people waking up. I'm seeing a lot of people questioning what's going on. So hopefully, we're going to move forward to something positive from here.
Mm. I turned away in disgust, out of stress, just going, look, bro, the Truth Movement's been totally compromised. All right, it's got a religious ideology that it's continuously pushing. All right, it's lying to people directly. All right, it's pushing people it knows are connected with the Jewish mafia. All right, I'm done. You know, like maybe it was my heart that gave out first, or maybe it was my mind, but it just broke me, mate.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of that. I mean, there's been a lot of divide and conquer mechanisms going forward, a lot of divide and conquer strategy in the whole so-called Truth Movement. There has a lot of psyops come into play. The monetization of YouTube as well has been a big contributing factor, I think. There's a lot of people sensationalizing their YouTube clips now, a lot of people presenting information which is sensational but not necessarily the truth, because this has become their income. You know, and this is everything we were trying to defeat, you know, the economic system, the economic model. This is what we're trying to defeat, what we're trying to bring down. And now people have become enslaved to it in the Truth Movement as well. This is one of the reasons I've never monetized my YouTube account. You know, it's not about that. It's about bringing information to people and remaining objective through it all. And I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing a lot of people just jumping on this economic bandwagon, which has been very unfortunate. You know, people don't understand what a psyop is, you know, how a psychological operation works. And the monetization of YouTube has been a psychological operation. It has. It's shifted people's focus away from fact and, you know, shifted it more towards their bank account, unfortunately.
If it bleeds, it leads, and that kind of thing. It's essentially grafting an economic model which the Truth Movement is overall rejecting onto itself, right? Isn't that just freaking brilliant? Right? Hey, you can introduce incentives that would make your own enemies your allies by becoming disinformation agents, but out of their own choice for the money.
Yeah, well, it is. It's brilliant. I mean, the way they've run the whole thing is brilliant. I mean, it's easy to get to people. It's easy to know how to get to people. You know, and once people saw YouTube as a source of income, it really, really changed things. And, you know, people need to look at that. I mean, it's not about clicks. It's not about getting hits. It's about bringing the truth to people. It's about emancipation from slavery. And it's brought an enormous amount of division with people too, enormous amount of competition in the Truth Movement, in different channels competing with each other now to get more views and more clicks to get more income, you know, and there's no common focus. And this is one problem that we've always faced in this movement is the lack of focus, the lack of common focus. Now, those who are working to enslave humanity, the psychopaths who run things at the top, they all have different ideas. They all have different beliefs. They all have different belief systems. They have different religions, different nationalities. They don't care what their cohorts believe. They don't care if someone believes something completely different to what they believe. They all have that common focus of achieving this slavery system and putting it into place, and they all work very hard to achieve that goal. Whereas we in the so-called Truth Movement, we lock ourselves into our belief systems and our various rabbit holes, and we fight and argue amongst each other. We compete with each other to get to the top of the pile. We don't have any common focus. We don't have that common focus of freedom, and realize that all the people that are speaking out, be it you, be it me, be it anybody, we're all working towards the same thing. We all have the same common goal, which is freedom. We need to have that focus and stop competing with each other and realize that we're all on the same team here. Now, that's our biggest downfall, is our competitive nature. And this has been exacerbated by the monetization of YouTube and all the stuff that they've done to us to make us more focused on money and more focused on personal glory and wanting to be the latest guru rather than simply wanting to be free. You know, that's the problem. You know, we've lost that focus, if we ever had that focus. I think many of us probably had it to begin with, but it seems to have gone by the wayside for a lot of people. A lot of people have dropped the ball, especially with the latest, the Trump election and all this sort of stuff. A lot of the Truth Movement seems to have turned into a cheer squad for Trump these days, which is quite interesting as well. You know, everyone's embracing the state the way we've never seen. And that's quite amazing to see. And behind that, everything's still going on. Nothing's changed. They're still praying us with chemtrails. They're still, you know, nanotech in the food. There's still the GM food out there. All the wars are raging. The smart grid's coming online. Nothing's changed. But everyone's arguing over the left-right paradigm. It's been a very clever play, very clever.
Mm. What's interesting to see is it's like the last 8 years never happened, right? You saw the entire hope change spectacle of Obama, and then betrays every single one of his promises and that kind of thing. And you thought that people saw that, right? But they didn't. They didn't even notice. It just went by without even a whisper. Every single election, hey, we tell you a whole lot of things that you really want to hear. Build that wall. And all of a sudden, people just drop their analytical skills. He said, build that wall? Really? Man, that's a straight talker right there. Right? And you're just thinking to yourself, dude, have you ever heard of, like, television, you know, entertaining people, shock value? You do realize it's the most encapsulating form of manipulating somebody's attention span, right? How long can they manipulate your attention span for? How long can you get them to focus on you? It's all a matter of how controversial your words are and how inflamed everybody gets. It's like you're getting played by a cheap, well, not a cheap marketer, but certainly a slippery salesman of some craft. I would know because I used to work with a lot of slippery salesmen. I tried to stay honest. That's why I can't do it anymore. That's why clicks don't really matter to me. Because if somebody that I do a video for gets uploaded and they get a hell of a lot of hits, that's really, really nice. But I might see like $10 out of it if it's really, really huge, like 50,000 views or anything, which barely ever happens. That's the thing. It's one source of passive income on top of all the other little sources of donations that I get from people because I can't work for the purpose of just money. There has to be something greater. There has to be something more meaningful, and it has to be something that I don't personally benefit from involved, right? Giving somebody an hour, 2 hours of talk radio time when nobody will give them the light of day is, I think, a service, right?
Well, yeah, absolutely it is, and we need more of it, you know, and it shouldn't be about clicks and it shouldn't be about views, it shouldn't be about any of that stuff, you know. But there's been so much identity politics that have gone on with this whole Trump thing, and you know, hopefully people are going to see that he's not the be-all and end-all, he's not going to lead them to safety, they have to do it themselves. You know, it's so contrived. This whole thing's contrived. The way he's being presented as the struggling underdog. I mean, I don't think he's the struggling underdog at all. I think this is just being done to give his presidency some legitimacy and to get the truth movement what's failing behind him like a cheer squad the way they are. You know, I think it's all been a play. The whole thing's been a play. I think that he wouldn't be in the position that he is if he wasn't a player. And I think that it's still moving forward in the same agenda. It's all going forward. I haven't seen anything change at all. I think the things that he's doing on the ground, the election promises that he has fulfilled, these are things that, you know, obviously, I mean, I think America was allowed to deteriorate simply so he could come along and put a few patches and band-aids on it and get the people to rally behind him.
He got rid of the TPP. I heard that one. I haven't really heard of anything else.
He's got the vaccinations investigated. He wants to have that investigated, the way he said. He wants to get, you know, the immigrants and all this sort of stuff. But it's all theater. It's all theater, Vinny, for the masses. I mean, he's put a few little patches on there. He's saying, oh yeah, I'm just fulfilling my election promises. But he's still posturing against Russia. I mean, this was all supposed to be repaired, wasn't it? Now he's posturing against Russia. He's posturing against Iran. He's still posturing against Syria. He's not calling that out for what it is. He's given Israel open slather. They've declared like thousands and upon thousands of new settlements they want to build. So, you know, he's not really doing anything. And this whole concept that, you know, he's been wiretapped and it's Obama leading a coup against him. I mean, I can't believe how many people are buying into that. Obama's a puppet. He's a figurehead. He's a mouthpiece. Obama's not leading anything. If anybody's wiretapping Trump, it's whoever's behind Obama. It's not Obama. Obama's just another puppet, the same as all the other presidents. I can't believe how people are buying into all of this stuff, you know. I think
I want to address that point there because I hear it a lot. I don't believe and I can't believe why people are buying into this stuff. Well, I'm just like, I think maybe this is part of the reason why I had to take such a long break is because I realised after studying what cult indoctrination techniques are and mind control techniques and the way narcissists and psychopaths manipulate people, and you realise that they're all actually the same techniques and they all have a very similar effect on the mind, the psyche of the victim. And as soon as I started to see that pattern, I started seeing it everywhere. I'm like, oh my God, there's a narcissist who's on the internet who's telling everybody complete lies and getting himself really, really rich off of it and is working for other interests, right, than he says he is. And the people who are listening to this narcissist on the internet are getting themselves into trouble in many, many ways, mostly psychologically, because they're getting themselves hurt and damaged and molded by the narcissist into something he can use, something he can feed off, whether or not it's your admiration, your shares, your clicks, your money, your web rankings. It doesn't matter what it is. It wants it. And it knows many, many techniques of lying and repeating and being basically a scumbag in order to get you to believe the things you want to believe so that they can take everything that is good about you and turn it on yourself and eventually get rid of it and turn you into their property. And I see this pattern happening every frickin' where I look, man, every political debate that I see, every radio show that I'm listening to, you know, that it's like that bad. It's just varying degrees of what people are doing. Some people are doing it unconsciously. I realized that I was doing some of these techniques unconsciously, and I was like, okay, I'm going to stop that. You know, you have to reevaluate yourself once you have this new perspective about how a lot of the evils that we see in the world are actually something that we're probably doing right now.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. And a lot of people won't look at that. That's the problem, you know. And it is people being led by narcissists and people being led by sociopaths and people being led by people that are doing things for the wrong reason, you know, people that don't have a pure heart in what they're doing. And like I said, you know, I just can't believe how much of the truth movement and the so-called independent media is not looking at this objectively enough. So many people have just bought into this whole left-right paradigm and have jumped onto this statism bandwagon. It's incredible. Even the people that are saying, oh, this wiretapping has been run by Obama. I mean, hang on, look behind the scenes. You really think Obama's got any power? You really think Trump's got any power? You really think any of these people have any power? It's a puppet show. You know, what has suddenly caused people to stop looking behind the veil and think that presidents actually have power and that this is anything more than a puppet show? It's been phenomenal how this change has come about in so much of the independent media. They've just dropped their objectivity. They've just dropped the ball so badly on this one. It's incredible to see, you know, and it's kind of sorted out the wheat from the chaff in many ways. But, you know, and I think a lot of it is people's egos have gotten in the way as well. I mean, the mainstream media has been flailing so badly. And there's so many elements now within the independent media that are kind of viewing themselves as, hey, we're the new mainstream, and they're really kind of, they're believing their own press and they're believing these great things about themselves, and they're letting their egos get in the way of their objectivity. It's been very sad to see. But I don't know. I mean, hopefully it's just going to be, people are going to see it for the farce that it is. Hopefully people are going to see the opportunity this is giving us to realize that this is a complete freak show. I mean, here's a president with a Twitter account. He's really humanized the presidency in as much as that. I mean, this is like a guy on the street you could bump into down the road. You know, it's like any guy. It means it kind of got the view now that the president isn't this untouchable person up there on some pedestal. It's just some dude in a suit with a Twitter account. So, you know, it's humanized the whole thing. So hopefully that'll serve to empower people a little bit. Hopefully they'll see what a puppet show and what a freak show this is, what a bunch of bumbling fools there are actually running this world and how much they're profiting from people. So, you know, hopefully it's the opportunity that people will get out of this. You know, that's my great hope for this anyway. Hopefully this will expose the system as fast as it is, you know.
Putting them on a pedestal, Did you hear about the Podesta emails? You know, like right, and I was just like, you know what would be a really, really great nickname, and I can't believe nobody's thought of it yet. Podesta the Molester.
Well, yeah, that's a good nickname for him. But, I mean, what's been exposed through the Clinton emails and the Podesta emails and all of the exposing of DynCorp and all of this sort of stuff, I mean, we can see the system of human farming for what it is now. We can see this human trafficking rampant around the world. We can see the war of terror for what it is. But none of this is being addressed by the Trump administration. And I think that's why there's so much of this left-right squabbling and all these wiretaps and all this stuff, the Vault 7 information, everything being released now. And there's nothing in Vault 7 that we didn't already know was happening, but it has confirmed it. And it is interesting that the CIA let it get out there, and now everybody's got access to all these hacking tools. So, you know, it's kind of interesting. But I think a lot of this is to just try to give legitimacy to Trump and to try to keep people distracted from what's in the Podesta emails, what's going on with DynCorp, what's going on with the war on terror, and what's going on with all this human trafficking and everything that's being exposed now. They're doing everything they can to try to legitimize this presidency and keep us distracted and keep us fighting amongst each other.
And human trafficking is a huge, huge business. People don't realize how many millions go missing every year and just get sold into the trade. Some get murdered and don't come back. Most of them never get released from the trade. And this is the thing. People think that slavery, you know, just went away. Right, that you can't own a human being, that you can't treat them like dirt and they'll have no human rights and things like that. No. We live in a world where there are dark corners. And believe me when I tell you, evil will always grow in the places you refuse to look.
And yeah, and it isn't just human slavery that's going on. It isn't just the trafficking, it's the organ harvesting as well. You know, what people don't understand the value of a human body, you know, like, you know, what your organs are worth. You know, your kidneys are worth $260,000. Your eyes are worth, you know, $15,000. Your lungs are worth $110,000. Your heart's worth $150,000. Your bone marrow is worth $23,000 a gram. The average human body is worth around about $43 million on the black market just in organs, bone marrow, and blood. That's how much you are worth. So when you look at what happens in these war zones, when they go in and they take over these villages, the first resource that they harvest is the people. That's what they do. They steal as many women and children as they can. They sell the children off into slavery. They sell the women into prostitution or organ harvesting, and they sell the men off to work in factories or in mines or to have their organs harvested. This is what happens, and this has all been exposed through the Clinton emails, through the actions of DynCorp, Otpor, the companies that are involved in this, NATO's involved, there's so many things involved.
It was like DynCorp, NATO, and the UN, and the Clintons and the US military. It was like that kind of like chain around the world of human of human trafficking and massive connections with organized crime, I would assume.
Absolutely, and it's all been exposed by the Clinton emails, and you can see how they've set up all these companies. You can see what all these invasions have been about. You can see what Libya was actually about. It was more of basically going in there to steal 20,000 Stinger missiles, to steal all Gaddafi's gold, to steal all of his cash wealth, and to steal the $265 billion in hidden assets that he also had through Europe. That's what that was about. And then they moved the army across into Syria. They're trying to do the same through there. 15,000 children have had their organs harvested in Syria since the conflict started. Now, these sorts of things, you know, have been going under the radar, but now they're all coming to light. This is what a lot of the white helmet activity has been about. There's a lot of the white helmets have gone in there to do good things, but then it's what happens after dark when the other forces go in there, and all the children that are taken from these war zones and put in these orphanages, what happens to them? Where do they go? You know, there's 8 million children that are go missing every year, and that's on legitimate records. That's just kidnapping and going missing from Western culture and Western cities and Western countries. This isn't even taking into account the amount of children that go missing from war zones. So, you know, when you take this into account, you take this figure into account, the amount of people that go missing from some of these war zones, you know, what we're seeing is human trafficking that's happening on an industrial scale. It really is. And it's not just for human organ harvesting as well. There's a lot of pedophile activity. I mean, what's been uncovered in Europe? You know, the recent gang that was uncovered in Europe. There were 52 people. 30 of them were police officers. The rest were politicians. They were raping children and getting it on video and all sorts of stuff. We're talking six-year-old kids, you know, being forced to have sex with animals and all sorts of horrible stuff. So this is just the tip of the iceberg. This is what's going on a global stage, you know, absolutely worldwide. People would not believe the extent of it and how far the tentacles go down in all of our societies. And all this is coming to light now. So I think that's a lot of why we're seeing this complete political circus at the moment, doing anything they can to keep people distracted, because they're scared to death that people are waking up to what's happening, and they're trying to give the government some form of legitimacy, you know.
They've been in this game for a very, very long time, literally invented propaganda with Edward Bernays, who was the nephew of Sigmund Freud. And now they're using very complex mind control techniques on the entire world at the same time to distract them from things that are coming to light. Okay? Now, they can't just shut everybody down. And you hear this all the time, don't you, Max? Oh, aren't you afraid of getting killed? Aren't you afraid of this, that, or the other? And it's like, nah, bro. I mean, there's the illusion of privacy. Okay? Right now, I've got the curtains closed, but everything's being recorded. You know? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, right? It was always an illusion, privacy was. And I think now we have the opportunity to realize the fact that privacy is, in fact, freedom. And if you don't have privacy, you don't have freedom. So none of us are free, right? So if none of us are free, how exactly would they keep us from recognizing that? By distracting the living hell out of us with everything that you can think of, because everybody's got different tastes. What do you distract the entire world with? With a world's full of entertainment. Right, look how big Bollywood is, distracting all the Indians from all the colonial oppression that used to go on there and so forth. You know, look, bro, we're all under a jackboot. That's the really scary realization that is often hyped up and out of proportion, because it doesn't feel like somebody's got their foot and their boot heel on your throat right now, does it? Okay? And that's the reason why we're not reacting like, in a huge fight or flight manner. And when we take time to sit down and think very, very clearly about the enemy that we're up against, the scale of the monstrosity of the problem that we're dealing with, and then what part do I, myself, one person, play in that game? All right, and I think that's a question everybody should start to ask themselves. What individual part can I play in making the world a better place, knowing what I know about this evil scumbaggery? Does that mean I keep listening to other people's radio shows who are telling me stuff that I already know and have already heard just because it's the kind of stuff that I want to hear? No. You go out and you tell that to people who ain't heard it yet, or you in some way live your life around that principle of not buying into the system, not being a part of it. You don't need to be a part of it. The universe comes out for those who've taken to jumping out of a plane without a parachute. I don't know.
You get involved. You know, and how do you know some of the stuff we know and not speak out about it, not get involved? That's the thing. You know, even if you're just playing these shows to your neighbours and talking about it over the kitchen table, that's still making a difference, you know. Anything you can do to make a difference in your community, but you've got to get involved. You can't just roll over. And, you know, there is no privacy, as you say. And the release of the Vault 7 information has shown that. This is everything we've been telling people for years. Yes, your computer is spying on you. Yes, all your emails are being read. Yes, your television is spying on you. Yes, they're listening to your mobile phone. They can turn the camera on. They can turn the microphone on. They can listen to anything that's got a microphone. There is no privacy. They're tracking everything you do. We've been telling people this for years. So now it's right out there in the open. So why would you not speak out? Why would you think that keeping your head down is going to make a difference? All you're doing is capitulating to a slavery system. You know what? And if you're scared of death, well, you know, death is the only part of life that's inevitable. You know, wouldn't you prefer to live in a free world and just sit there and think that it's not going to come for you? When it is, it's already come for all of us. It's already got all of us, you know. So it's about time we recognize that. and stood up for what's right and stood up for freedom. You know, don't be afraid to call things out for what they are, because ultimately the world's run by people the same as you. That's what I was saying before. This Trump presidency, it's kind of brought them down from the pedestal, these politicians. It's humanized the presidency. It's humanized the political system. Politicians are just people like you, and politicians are actually the last people who should be involved in government. You know, if we're going to have government at all, we need people with good managerial skills, not people who have political motivation in what they do. You know, politics is what's caused problems with government. You know, for some reason, people equate politics with government and politicians with government. Really, it should be people with managerial skills, not politicians at all. You know, politicians are what's wrong with government. So, you know, I think it's a time of great opportunity, Vinny. I really do. I think all of this is a time of opportunity. And, you know, the fact that they're just being exposed as bumbling fools now, the fact that the media is being exposed as being the barefaced liars that they always have been, you know, this is a great opportunity for the independent media to actually provide a bit of stability and a bit of grounding for these people. If we could just come together and we could just put down our differences and get this common focus, like I said before, stop bickering about the details, stop trying to put each other down, stop trying to climb over each other, and actually come together. This is something I've been trying to do for years, or ever since I've been traveling around the world. I've tried to meet every single prominent figure from the independent media that I can to try to unite people, to try to get the people to see out there that all of the us who are speaking out, we're all actually on the same page. So there's no reason for you guys to squabble with each other as well. But you know, I haven't been very successful because most people tend to have an agenda, unfortunately. But I think a lot of people are seeing the need to put all this down now because things are getting pretty desperate. It doesn't really matter about personal agendas. It matters about freedom. That's what we should be focused on.
Well, in many respects, freedom is the ability to pursue your own personal agenda, right? And sometimes we focus on coming together when, in actual fact, when we're doing our own thing, that is us working in tandem with the rest of the world. Everybody's working a little bit and doing their own thing, throwing their own pebble into the pond and making their own ripples. And I think that, in some ways, is actually a lot more powerful than an organization. Because sometimes, what was it? I think it was Mark Twain that said, if you wanted to destroy the essence of something, create an organization. Because I think a lot of times we do try to build movements, you know, like I saw the 9/11 Truth Movement. I was involved here in New Zealand with the Daiquiri, the cannabis factory, right? And it just kind of is something usually behind a personality, and once that personality is gone, the ability for people to just go, okay, sweet as, we can go, we can work together, we can do all this kind of stuff. As soon as the personality who created all of that disappears, so does the organization. And in some cases, the organizations that are there still long after the creator is gone are often run really terribly. And it's like I'm starting to get a little inkling in the back of my head that maybe organizing and having a resistance with leaders is not a good thing. Maybe everybody needs to be their own leader. Maybe everybody needs to do their own thing. And maybe nobody can tell them what that one thing is.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. Absolutely. This is something that I've been saying for a long time. There are no leaders. This is why I've always stepped away from that leadership position. It's why I created a Full Circle Project, so people could lead themselves in their own communities. You know, I believe all people really need is a support group. You know, people that can talk to, people that are on the same page as you, people you can share ideas with, but no leaders. You know, you've got to lead yourself in your own community. You can't expect someone to come along with any type of movement and lead you to safety. You know, if we haven't adjusted our morals and we haven't adjusted, you know, what is, you know, our concept of right and wrong, what is good and bad, and we haven't refused to tolerate that which is bad in the world around us, then we're not going to get anywhere. It doesn't matter what sort of a movement anybody comes along with and where they try to lead us to. If we haven't changed what's in here, we're just going to end up back where we started. You know, but if we stop tolerating bad behavior, stop tolerating evil, whatever you want to call it, you know, stop tolerating that which is wrong and obviously wrong, and start doing the right thing in all that we do, then the world has to change around us. But no one can lead us to that, you know, and it doesn't matter, like I said, what they lead us to. If we haven't done that, well, we're just going to end up here. We're just going to end up back where we were, you know. And if we change what's in our heart, and we start doing the right thing in all that we do, we don't have to change anything else. The world has to change around us. It's really simple. You know, people just can't see the forest for the trees. They want someone to come along and lead them to safety so they can just get along with their lives and continue to go to work and continue to get their pay and do all that stuff. You know, it's the fact that they even want to do that and they believe they need to do that with their lives, and the fact that they believe they can just get a newsletter that's going to tell them the world has changed, that's the problem. You know, the fact that they even believe they need someone to lead them to safety when they're not prepared to do it themselves, they're not prepared to do what is right in their own lives, that's the problem. You know, and until people can get a grasp on that, well, there's no hope for us. Mm. You know, it doesn't matter where anybody tries to lead us. People have got to change it in themselves. Then there are no leaders. They can lead themselves. Indeed, they have no choice other than to lead themselves, because once you step into that, it's a very powerful knowledge. It's a very, very powerful knowing about yourself. And you can kind of lead yourself from that point once you discover yourself, you know.
Well, nobody sits you down when you're 18 and says, you know how I used to tell you how to brush your teeth? Yeah, well, you have to tell yourself how to do that now. You know how I used to make dinner for you? Yeah. You have to make your own dinner now. You know how I used to tell you how to go to bed at a responsible time so you get up early and not be sleep deprived? Yeah. Well, you're going to have to force yourself to go to sleep early now. And you're going to have to force yourself to get up. You're going to have to force yourself to go to your slave job. You're going to have to force yourself to do everything. Because you're an adult now. Okay? And you can't rely on mummy or daddy in any shape or form to walk you through your day. You have to do it yourself. And I was interviewing Paul Connett, and I made this point about the fluoridation argument, is that often people are just going, please tell me a solution that means I don't have to put any effort in, that I don't have to learn anything, that I don't have to actually make any changes in my daily life, right? That's the thing. People don't want to make the effort. They don't want to feel the struggle. They don't want to feel, they don't want to feel the pain. And I'm starting to believe that maybe people should actually start to crave being hurt. Okay. For every time you've been hurt is a great learning opportunity. And to see Trump being touted by half the truth movement, who just like, oh, here's your credibility, just with a lighter, just burns right up, and just in a flash of fire, in an instant, like somebody spit gasoline over a candle full of hippies, right? It was just unfreaking believable how quick the flames just hit the ceiling on that one, for me to see it, and for me to be sort of like one of the very few people who saw it. And it's usually the very balanced individuals in the truth movement, I've found, the very wise ones, the ones who've been around the bend a few times, and actually just can see a scam a mile off because you just got your head so full of scumbaggery and knowledge of it that these things appear obvious to us, don't they, Max? But not obvious to other people.
Well, yeah, I mean, and a lot of it, I think, is the psyops that have been played on them. Like I said, the monetization of YouTube, people believing their own press, people seeing the mainstream media failing and seeing an opportunity for them to become a new voice of reason for the people or whatever. I think a lot of it has been a play, but a lot of people have dropped the ball on it. They really have. A lot of people just aren't being objective about it at all. And that's a real concern. But, you know, I mean, Trump was in a unique position. You've got to admit, he did have the potential to do the right thing. This is a man who came to the office with a lot of money behind him, who had an opportunity to do the right thing. And so I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt and the hope that he would, but I didn't really have a great deal of hope. And unfortunately, everything that I predicted to be happening actually happened and unfolded pretty quickly. I said it was going to reveal itself very quickly, and it certainly has, and nothing has changed. So, you know, I don't know what it's going to take for people to see it, but hopefully they will, and hopefully they'll see it soon. But, you know, the people out there are being led in so many directions now. There's so much divide and conquer that's happening on the street. My hope is that people will put all that aside. You know, it's a great opportunity for the people of the United States to come together as one nation and step back and see what this man's going to do, because that'll put them back in control of the situation. In the moment, they're not in control of anything. And hopefully they'll see that. I mean, they never have been, but they've got an opportunity to get a little bit of control now, get a little bit of unity, see this puppet show for what it is. You know, that's about all it's going to save things, I think. Now, it is a huge opportunity. Hopefully people see this as the farce that it is. And that's the only real hope we've got of moving this forward in a positive direction, you know. If people are going to believe that someone's going to come along and lead them, or that Trump's going to lead them or anything like that, or that even anyone in the truth movement's going to lead them, that they have to do it without taking responsibility for themselves, well, hopefully this is going to, you know, squash all of that belief, and hopefully they're going to see the need to take responsibility for themselves.
They don't want to.
That's what we need, Vinny.
They don't want to preach that idea, because, I mean, I preach that idea. That's why I've got so few listeners and followers, you know, comparatively to somebody else who's been in as long as I have. But the ones that I have are of great quality, right? You know, just like actual people who are intelligent, who are actually living their own lives, raising their kids right, and living in a life that is counter to the way the New World Order wants them to live. Like, real quality people who don't need me, right? And that's the best thing. That's the kind of relationship that I wanted to have with my audience. I don't want them to need me, and I don't want me to need them. I don't want there to be any kind of, like, power struggle between us. If there's one thing that people need to know about the relationship between a talk radio show host and their audience, it's the perception of trust. Okay? You can either have the perception or you can have the trust. You can't have both. Because often when you're really, really trusting with people, when you tell them everything that you think, that's when they get really angry with you. That's when they reject you. That's when they throw everything else that you think that they agree with completely out the window. Now, you talked about this divide and conquer tactics. If you refuse to placate people, if you refuse to manipulate them, if you refuse to talk in a cautious manner without saying what you really feel, then your ability to have a larger audience will naturally grow. But if you don't actually value that idea in and of itself, just having a big audience, if you only want like a real quality audience, you just be honest with them, and the good ones will stay, and the ones who are judgmental, who can get offended at anything that you say, the people who would report you to the FCC and so on and so forth, they can't stand listening to 5 minutes of you before they turn it off. And that's exactly the game I'm playing.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a good game to play. I mean, really, you've just got to speak your mind and speak the truth. That's what it's all about. And who cares if you don't get it right all the time? You know, you make a mistake. That's called being human. Like you say, you can placate everybody. You can say what people want to hear. There's a lot of places that do that. There's a lot of channels out there that tell people exactly what they want to hear. They spread so much disinformation in with truth, which is exactly the way COINTEL works. There's a lot of channels that are doing that. And there's people that just speak the truth and speak their truth and offer their perspective and don't always get it right. And, you know, I'm one of them, you're one of them, you know, the honest people do that. And it is good. It is good to do, and I think people do appreciate that. And they do appreciate you make a mistake and you say, hey, I made a mistake. That's all good. That's what being human's about. You know, this whole thing's been a learning curve for everybody. This whole, you know, quest for truth, you know, it's been a learning curve for everybody. You know, if you listen to my shows back from 2008, and listen to what I was saying then to what I'm saying now, there's definitely been a lot of growth since then. But, hey, that's fine. That's where my views were then, because that's where my level of knowledge was then. You know, it's about growth. It's about change. And if you've got the same opinion now as what you had 10 years ago, well, there's something seriously wrong, I think, because there's been a lot of information going under the bridge between then and now. So, yeah, it's a good thing, and I think you're right. People do appreciate the truth, and I do appreciate people just speaking their mind and not placating the audience and not just saying what people want to hear. I mean, you can put on white robes and tell people what they want to hear, all we like, and take all the donations we want. It's not really going to get anywhere. It's not going to bring about freedom or truth. So, you know, I think it's up to people to judge with their own hearts who's telling them the truth and who isn't, and listen with their hearts to what people have to say. And it doesn't matter if people get it wrong sometimes. There's still a lot of good stuff that they've done before, so, you know, give people a bit of a break.
And on that note, I also wanted to remind people that American Freedom Radio is listener-supported as well. They've got a new Patreon page and a nice little video that I made for them, and it's really good stuff. So American Freedom Radio gave me this gig, right? He's given so many people their first gig that it's just like half the truth movement, you know, the good and the bad. wouldn't be in it if it wasn't for the guy Danny Romero at this network. And I encourage people to go to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and if they want to give $1 a month, $2 a month, $5 a month, you got $5 million a month you want to give in there, we're not going to argue. But other than that, I wanted to actually wind that back a bit, going back to this divide and conquer thing and the importance of bringing people together. Now, it's on the points you agree that you can come together and collaborate, and on the points you disagree, sometimes you can leave those debates just for another time, like a time that we're not under the threat of enslavement and subsequent extermination by a cabal of ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery, perchance. You know, some other time we can debate the flat earth and so on and so forth. However, right now, instantly recuse myself, because that's the same argument you hear from everybody else. Oh, it's not time to talk about the pedophilia. Oh, it's not time to talk about the mass surveillance. Oh, it's not time to talk about 9/11. Look, no time's good to talk about something, is it? Is it? Think about it.
Well, that's the problem. We need to act, you know. We need to act. Stop complying with this system. Stop complying with our own enslavement, you know. That's the thing, you know, we talk about all this stuff, but we comply with it all. You know, we use the mobile phones, we use the credit cards, we comply with all of this slavery system, all of this surveillance system, we do all the stuff they know is using, you know, to surveil us. They do all this, you know, we do all this stuff we know is not working in our best interest, but we do it anyway. You know, we allow this evil to exist in the world, we tolerate all these wars, we tolerate being taxed. We tolerate our government putting in surveillance systems in our own communities and putting cameras everywhere and parking meters everywhere. We just go along with it all. That's the problem. We do, because we live in divided communities. So, yeah, let's agree to disagree on all the small points. Let's agree to have different belief systems. Let's agree to, you know, not argue about what shape the earth is. It doesn't matter for now. Let's get the freedom to find out what it is. Let's get the freedom to, you know, not be in the position that we're in. And we're only going to get that from respecting each other. So, let's have a little bit of focus there. You know, we're not getting any of that. It doesn't matter about all the other stuff. It's all just part of the divide and conquer strategy. And we've got to agree to disagree on things. We've got to allow people to think differently to us and respect each other in our differences. It's important that we do. So, you know, yeah, that's what we have to do, Vinny, absolutely.
Well, we can't assume who each other is and what each other thinks because we're not omnipotent, right? That would be something that would belong to a god. And according to the dictionary, a god is a fictional creation of man. And there is no other definition for it.
You're going to get a bit of hate mail from that one, brother.
One can only hope. Because, I don't know, it's just, why be worried? I get this, what's that phrase? Walking on eggshells. You ever hear that phrase, bro? I don't want to be around people where I have to walk on eggshells. I think maybe that's why my birthday, Christmas, like, it's just so uncomfortable for me, because I can't just say what I think anymore. All of a sudden, I'm not a talk radio show host who's, like, spoken to some of the wisest mystics and professors and lawyers and doctors and things like that and activists in the world for, like, half a decade. I'm not that. No, I'm little brother Vinny, right? And I'm sitting here having these conversations about, like, different brands of alcohol and stuff like that. And I'm, like, tearing my follicles out, bro. I can't stand it. It hurts me. It hurts me in my brain places when I hear conversations that are not worth my brain's functioning capacity. It just switches off. It turns into this, like, it's like the dark dimension from Doctor Strange, bro. Like, all of a sudden the brain just goes, it no longer functions. It's like the red mist. The anger, the rage, the sense of rejection of any kind of rational thought just compels me to not behave myself, to not be happy. It makes me feel like a slave. and I understand that my audience feels this way. A lot of people are like, they're really depressed because of how their family treats them. They feel really alone because of how their workmates treat them. They feel really in pain and at loss, and they don't know what to do in their lives. But when they listen to this show and they hear stories of woe from dudes who've gone through way worse shit than they're going through right now, they go, man, the Vinnie Eastwood show made me feel better. It was great. See, that's the gift, ladies and gentlemen. You don't have to pay for it, but it's there for you nonetheless, and it's the same thing with Max. Everybody's got some kind of gift that they can give into the pool of humanity that the internet has now given us the ability to create, all right? And I think that everybody's got some kind of gift to contribute to the greater whole. White blood cells don't wish they were red blood cells, and vice versa, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it is. It is. I mean, everybody has got something to offer, and it's about feeling positive. And that's again what I've put Full Circle Project together for, so you can find a support group in your area. You know, because I meet a lot of people who say they've got no one to talk to, their family doesn't understand them, their friends don't understand them, they feel alone. So that's what it's about. It's just about getting that support group. You know, and even if it's just an online group, but, you know, it's better if you can actually meet people in the flesh and actually get that physical support around you. But even if you just start online, I mean, reach out to people, because there's a lot of people out there who feel the same way, who just need that support group around them, who need someone to talk to who's on their level, need to know that other people understand how they feel. So get out there and get amongst it. Now, you can make a difference if you get involved, but you've got to choose to. You've got to take that step yourself. So that's what we've created Full Circle Project for. So hopefully people will get involved now. The website for that is fullcircleproject.net. So do look for that, log on to the Community Connector and do a search for people in your area, and get involved on the ground. You'll find that there's issues in your community that you can deal with. You'll find that there's ways you can approach your council members and just stir the hornet's nest a little bit, you know, question authority a little bit, do it in the right way. There's ways we can get through this if you get involved on the ground. And that's the only way we're going to make a difference. People have got to get involved on the ground. Get out there and do what you can in your community. Even if you just go and start a community garden or go and join a community garden and just start talking to people, start sharing information with people, it all makes a difference. So you know, don't think that you're impotent. Don't think that you can't make a difference. Don't think that there's people out there who don't feel the same as you do, because there's millions of them. You just got to go out and find them.
Yeah. You are what you believe you are. Say, I powerful. Don't say, I can't.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Very good.
Yeah, because nobody wants to be seen as a can't. Now, Max, thank you very much for coming on the show with me this evening. I would like you to give out your website and perhaps a little brief farewell message to everybody.
Yeah, well, my website is thecrowhouse.com. I'm currently in Hawaii at the moment doing some combo workshops, but I'm speaking at the Free Your Mind Conference in Philadelphia on the 7th and 9th of April, if anybody wants to come along to that. I'm also speaking in California at Bear's Paw on the 23rd. So good to see you there. Yeah, thecrowhouse.com, you'll find out everything about me there.
All right, thanks, Max Egan, everybody. Also go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, donate through the PayPal, the Patreon, and the Kiwi Bank, and we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening and sharing your attention and your love and your support and your sharing of the shows and everything like that. I'm very grateful. You know that I am. Catch you later.